Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Support for the Cannon Fire podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at betonline.ag. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. And of course, they've always got the online casino, which never closes. So head over to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Once again, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers from the 48-yard line. Second down, 13. Brady lobs one downfield. Caught, ball by Gronkowski. Inside the 20 to the 15, 10. Gronkowski to the 5 to the 4-yard line. Holy guacamole.
Third down, 18. Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Those up the middle.
It's intercepted at the 30. Derek Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 25, 20. Derek Brooks all the way. There it is. The dagger's in. No. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, baby!
This is the big nasty. Yeah, big nasty Hall of Fame Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, baby.
This is Mike Allstott, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to the Cannon Fire Podcast.
Cannon Fire Podcast, brother. You ain't listening, and you're missing out. Woo!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Live on YouTube today for episode 206. Had to think about that one for a second. Talking to you guys a little bit later than we usually do. I think the best excuse we could come up with is the Buccaneers are in LA this week, so we just wanted to get a good start time for our West Coast guys, right? So 8 p.m. Pacific time start tonight. For the podcast. So anybody checking in live on YouTube, we definitely do appreciate you. Happy Friday night. If you guys are not out partying, you're probably just now getting home from the club. That's how late it is. But pleasure to have you here. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, as always, Rhett Matthew, joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host, the Philly Bucks fan himself, Mr. Evan Wanish. You ready to break down this Bucks-Rams game today?
Of course I am. However, before we do that, Lane Johnston wants me to remind you and actually ask you, how about that loss to, the Bay Bludgeoners in the fantasy league? How are you feeling?
You know, I mean, I'm breaking even in fantasy every week this year, it seems like. So at this point, I don't even remember what leagues I'm winning and losing in.
I get confused with the names in the CFP league. So he could be talking about beating me. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
I have no idea. So, yeah, so I'm 1-1 in the CFP league. So
yeah, I'm 1-1 in both of my leagues. Hopefully we can try and break positive this week, get a dub in both. I'd like to get some good momentum. Shout out to G Vegas, the moderator, holding it down. He said he's hanging out in LA with the Loose Cannons travel crew. Hell yeah, dude. So look, this West Coast start time was like perfect.
It's beneficial.
Yeah, I don't know if he's getting ready to go do something. It is Friday night. So you guys are going to be partying tomorrow, too, getting ready for the game on Sunday. Mike G says so much disrespect for the Bucks this week in the media. We'll talk about that here shortly. But shout out to Mike G, TB12 Goatman checking in. My buddy Cody Haynes is here. Emily Compa says, what's up, guys? Willie Beeman, the moderator, of course, holding it down as he always does. So let's go ahead and get into it. Like I had mentioned before, Sunday, September 26th, 4:25 p.m. on Fox. It is America's Game of the Week. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are headed to L.A. for TB12's first ever career start in Los Angeles. They're going to be taking on Matt Stafford in the L.A. Rams. This is a Rams team that got the upper hand against Tampa Bay last year. We know how the season ended up shaping out. The Rams were not in the Super Bowl. That's because the Bucs ended up winning the whole thing, if anybody's not caught up on that part yet. But the matchup looks a lot different this year. Firstly, the Rams made a move at quarterback. They went and got Matt Stafford. And if these first 2 weeks are showing us anything, obviously there's still some adjustments for him to get used to, but he is off to one hell of a start with that LA offense. He looks like he's been waiting to play for a team like this for a long time.
I mean, waiting to play a team for a team like this or just waiting to get out of Detroit?
Yeah.
I think you could speak for most NFL players when talking about the Detroit Lions. So, I always think he was one of the more underrated quarterbacks. And now I can't really call him underrated because when everybody starts talking about you, then you're not underrated. When so many people are saying you're underrated, then are you actually underrated? I don't think you're underrated anymore. If everybody is pointing out how underrated you are, you know, the secret's out. So I think the secret is out on Matthew Stafford. He is a good quarterback, folks.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people who have been, you know, banging their chest about it because for the longest time, I guess he was revered as underrated. But everybody kind of knew that guy who was a Matt Stafford believer, right? Always had a reason as to why he could have been at an MVP pace. I mean, he did put up some pretty great numbers in Detroit. There were a number of years where all he had was like Megatron, right? And Megatron had Hall of Fame worthy numbers, as we can clearly see, even though his short career in the NFL. So it's like Matt Stafford is, it's not too shocking to see him come out here and just play like this, I guess, is the way I'll put it.
No, it shouldn't be shocking to anyone. He's, like I said, on pure talent, I think he's one of the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't think there's not many people that can, you know, sling the rock like him. I think if you're talking pure talent, he's a top 10 talent. It's just, he's played on some crappy teams. And I mean, he's even won with some of those crappy teams. So it'll be interesting to see the Bucs game plan. The last two times, actually, the Bucs have played the Lions 2 years in a row, but they didn't. In 2019, they played David Blau because Stafford was hurt. And then in 2020, if you remember, Stafford started the game, played one drive, and then was out the rest of the game. So Matthew Stafford has, Matthew Stafford teams have faced off against the Bucs recently, but they haven't really, he hasn't really played against them in a while.
Yeah. Taking a look at the Bucs coming into this week, we know the Bucs are 2-0, just dropped damn near 50 on Atlanta. And if you guys want, you know, some more juicy details from that game, make sure you check out the mailbag episode. I think it's like a good preview to the game preview. But I think it's a podcast that should get a little more love. So if you guys are looking for something to listen to tomorrow,
also if you're looking for something a little bit more laid back too, it's more of an open discussion rather than a organized, you know, we're going this segment to this segment, to this segment. It's, I think, what are we? We went on 10 minutes about, you know, what Bucs quarterback would be the backup on this current team. And, you know, so we listed them all and Rhett gave the take that Luke McCown was so much better than Josh McCown as the Bucs quarterback, which I don't know how you come to that conclusion, but he did. And I also said that Noah Spence would be the one player in the entire Buccaneers history that I would add to this roster.
It's great stuff, man. If you guys want to submit questions for the mailbag every week, it is open. CannonFirePodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. So back to the Bucs coming into this game. We know that Tom Brady, most of the guys are healthy, but the Buccaneers do have a couple of hiccups on the roster this week, and it has been the biggest blow this roster has had up until this point this season. So let's talk about some of the guys that are already ruled out for Sunday. Jason Pierre-Paul, first and foremost, we talked a little bit on Wednesday about his cryptic Instagram post about setbacks. Well, that setback ended up being, I guess a shoulder injury, shoulder slash hand injury is what he shows up on the injury report as. He was prescribed rest, is basically what the report said. He went and got a second opinion, and that doctor told him to just rest. Now, I did say that this is Jason Pierre-Paul we're talking about, so if he's limited in practice at all this week, I still feel like he plays, but he has been ruled out for this matchup. JPP along that defensive line, bit of a blow. That's your starter. That's your guy who's out there getting most of the snaps. I know we've talked about defensive line production so far this season, so I'll be curious to see how this next guy steps up, right? The rookie finally getting his. We've seen him play in all sorts of different positions on this defense, but it really seems like at this point, week three is going to be the first good size look we get at rookie Joe Tryon in the NFL, especially, well, at defensive end, basically.
Yeah, it's going to be his first start, so it'll be good. And obviously, Bruce Arians basically said he expects ups and downs. He expects struggles for Tryon Cuenca in his first game because, you know, the more you play, the more you are likely to make a mistake. And he's a rookie. This was not the first overall pick. He's not a Myles Garrett, a player that's going to come in and change your defensive line from day one. He was the 32nd overall pick. Like, you know, he's a good player. We all believe he's a good football player, but he's also going to have them struggles and there's going to be them growing pains. But I do think that he's going to be able to provide a little bit of a spark maybe to a pass rush that honestly, I through the first two games, I need to see more from. They're getting some pressures. You need sacks. You need sacks in this league, especially against a team like the Rams, who I think is one of the NFL's best. So you're going to need sacks this week. Pressures are great, but you're going to need sacks. And hopefully Joe Tryon Cuenca can provide some type of spark there.
Yeah, and the thing I like most about Joe Tryon is we talked about it before, just his overall size, like his length. He's just a big, tall, athletic, lanky dude. He's incredibly athletic, and he's pretty fast. I think if you look at the front seven of Tampa Bay, if you have Shaq Barrett and Tryon on the other side, I kind of want to take Tryon in a foot race. Like, I don't know if that's ever been measured. I don't know what kind of speed he's really working with out there. Not a lot of people would refer to Matt Stafford as a mobile quarterback, but he can definitely make some things happen in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And I think Tryon is a little bit more of, you know, he could probably run down a mobile quarterback a little bit faster than a guy like JPP could. We know Shaq Barrett has kind of got that closing speed. He likes to jump off the line, but I kind of like Tryon in a foot race. You know what I mean? So I'm very interested to see the dynamic that he brings with him getting the majority of the snaps on the edge. But I'm just excited, dude. Like, all the hype coming out of the preseason with this kid. I remember we kind of had to tell everybody, and I mean even ourselves, like, hey, let's reel it in for a little bit. Yeah, you know, he's playing in the preseason. It was the Texans, not their starters. Even if it was their starters, it's not like they're that great of a team. You know, the Bengals, like, it was, you know, it was preseason. Yeah. But yeah. This is his opportunity, and I hope he goes out there and makes the most of it. I'm excited to see what he can do in this defense.
Speaking of the Texans, since I don't have a take bag, I'm just going to just lay it out here since for the game preview shows we have the checklist, not the take bag. So the Panthers are like the worst 3-0 team in NFL history. They're not good. They played the Saints. I mean, they played the Saints, but they played the Jets first.
They Jets played the are, Saints missing how many, like double yeah, digit coaches?
The Jets are barely an NFL team in you know, a rookie's first game ever in the NFL. Then they play the Saints without Marshawn Lattimore, without Marcus Davenport, without like eight or nine coaches. And then they play, and then you have Jameis Winston as your quarterback, so that's always a disadvantage. And then they play the Houston Texans, who not even starting Tyrod Taylor, starting Davis Mills.
Yeah. Do you think Taylor could have made that a game?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it would have been a little bit better. I mean, they weren't even attempting to throw the ball. It was like watching a high school football game. It was like run after run after run. And like, I didn't understand it. Like eventually, like I understand Davis Mills is a guy you didn't really expect to see the field this year. I get it, but like give the kid a shot. So Panthers, you're not good. The unfortunate thing is that if you look at the Panthers schedule, they could, and actually if the Bucs lose this week, the Panthers will be alone in first place, which is crazy. But, the Panthers could be like 5-1, 6-1 by like the time, like, you know, like mid season rolls around. I think they play Dallas, then they play Philly. Then it's like Atlanta.
I think Dallas can definitely make some work out of.
Sure. But I'm just saying they're winnable games.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. Those are winnable games for the Panthers. So they're not very good, but man, is their schedule easy, dude. Like they play the Falcons twice. We all saw what the Falcons were. They still play the Giants. They play, they play Washington. Is Washington as good as advertised? Who knows? They play Miami. They play New England. A lot of these games are winnable. So Panthers, you're not good. Relax. Okay. Just, it sucks because like they're going to be, you know, if they are in first place, people will be like, oh, look at this. And I'll be like, okay, slow your roll, because like, look at who they're playing and look at who they're just barely beating. And so I think they're getting there, but they ain't there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, folks, I really like that segment because like you said, it's a game preview show. So if we don't have a take bag, I guess Evan just selectively shits on an NFC South division rival that week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just Carolina this week.
It was Carolina week. Well, you know, the Bucs don't play Carolina until like week 15 or whatever. Or no, I think it's week 16. So I got to get my shots in somewhere. Ethan Ennis said, I swear you guys and James need to pay Willie. Dude is straight carrying every single Bucs live chat on YouTube.
Willie Beeman is the hardest working moderator we have.
And you know what? I mean, I am going to be getting the whole menu on Wendy's soon. He's donated a lot to the Wendy's fund. And we appreciate every single penny. So appreciate you, Willie.
Listen, Willie, if you can make it, I don't know if we've had this discussion yet, but if you can make it out to the watch party.
Yeah, we already did. He said he can. He's already planned his vacations.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we were bummed. I remember it.
Listen, if you are ever in Tampa, my friend, or wherever in the same area at the same time, like, let me buy you some chicken wings, all right?
I'm technically closer to Willie right now than
Well, then
are.
You buy him some chicken wings. You figure it out.
I'll figure it out. No worries. I'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, Willie. We will figure it out.
We appreciate your hard work, man. Thanks for being a moderator. So some other guys that are going to be on the mend for Tampa Bay this week, confirmed out, is Jadon Mickens, wide receiver / kick returner with an abdomen injury. We talked a little bit about this on Wednesday as well. Maybe we see some Jalen Darden this week, whether it's in the return game or it's possibly getting one or two targets at wide receiver. But I'm curious to see what the rookie is able to do. Now, the bigger of the wide receiver injuries here, number 81, Antonio Brown, was placed on the COVID reserve list a little bit earlier this week. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, I think it was Tuesday. Either Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it might have actually been Wednesday. So
yeah, I think
Kevin Minter. Kevin Minter was placed on it first. I think that was either Monday or Tuesday, and then Antonio Brown was Wednesday.
Yeah, so Antonio Brown, as of right now, there hasn't been any announcement of any negative tests coming back or any updates from the Buccaneers about Antonio Brown. Of course, we still have tomorrow and Sunday. I mean, I don't know if he's going to travel with the team at this point.
No, Bruce Arians has said that he's not going to travel with the team. I don't believe so.
Right. So if he doesn't travel with the team, like, is that a wrap? He's not playing at all? Or are they going to throw him on a private jet out there?
He could.
Right.
Mean, didn't Jerry Jones joke about that with Zach Martin? Did we talk about that? It was either me and you or me and James that talked about that.
I think it was you and James.
That's an unfortunate conversation.
Well, it sounds like you have fun. I don't know why you got to turn the tables and make it.
Oh, it's not. It's never fun. but Jerry Jones like joked that like he would fly Zach Martin to Tampa if he was able to do it. It's possible. Like, and we won't know the results of those tests. But right now, neither Kevin Minter or Antonio Brown have been ruled out. The only two players that have been ruled out, they will 100% not play, is Jadon Mickens and Jason Pierre-Paul. But I think it's pretty safe to say the expectation is that neither Brown nor Minter is going to play in this game.
Yeah. And of course, if there are any updates between now and kickoff on Sunday, we will make sure we stay on top of it, because that's pretty big news if you get Antonio Brown back. But let's talk about the possibility of him not being out there. That leaves your wide receiver room looking like this: Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson, And then, of course, all the tight ends. Rob Gronkowski off to a blistering start. Cam Brate, maybe O.J. Howard getting a little bit more action this week. But I think Emily brought it up in the live chat. I wanted to get your thoughts on Tyler Johnson. Do you think we actually a little bit more TJ this week? I mean, you know, having Antonio Brown out obviously opens the door for every single receiver on the team. But I still kind of feel like if he's out there, he's going to get maybe three, four targets at most.
Yeah, I think you're going to see him quite a bit. I really do. We talked on the show about how Scotty Moore's a nice player, but he's kind of a one-trick deal right now.
Utility guy, I think. He's, you know, a perfect situation kind of player.
Yeah, it's a very specific situation. So I think if you're looking for a player to do similar things to what Antonio Brown does, and you don't trust Jalen Darden yet, then you would theoretically go to Tyler Johnson. I think Tyler, you're going to see a lot of Tyler Johnson. I really do. You're going to have Chris Godwin. I would expect him to play in the slot. I mean, he's their slot receiver, and I think Tyler Johnson's going to be their outside guy. So I think you could see a lot. And, you know, the Rams' focus could be on Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So is it a big Tyler Johnson day? Maybe. It very well could be.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. We've talked about how there is a lot of promising signs from TJ. You're a big fan of the guy. I have been since the Bucks drafted him. He made that huge catch in the playoffs.
I don't know if we've been on record. Don't know if they beat the Saints without it. So.
Exactly. Like that's play of the game for the people who actually watch the game from beginning to end and don't just remember the highlights. Because yeah, a lot of people say the defense won that game, but Tyler Johnson on that drive was critical. Because the Bucs needed points, and if I remember correctly, they went down the field and got
that was a third and long. They would have punted the ball right back to New Orleans.
Exactly. But I'm excited to see what he can do. Hopefully he gets a lot of targets this week. But for the Bucs, yeah, that is pretty much the injury report. As far as the Rams go, they're coming into this game mostly healthy. Daryl Henderson, their starting running back, is questionable right now. I believe he did not practice today. So, I mean, that could be interesting. But it seems like every single week here on the game preview, we start to talk about other teams' running backs, and then we just kind of remember, you know? I don't think the Rams are going to beat the Bucs by throwing the football. I think this Bucs offense, as we start to get into maybe expectations for what these guys can do on both sides of the ball, the Bucs offense this year is going to start a hell of a lot faster than they did in 2020. The Rams defense did a pretty good job of slowing Tampa Bay down. If I remember, they only held them to like 24 points, and they had the lead going into the half. I still think a Sean McVay team has never lost with the lead going into the half.
39-0. So.
Yeah, that's a lot of football games.
That's not tied. That is, the Rams are in the lead at halftime. So when they're tied, maybe they've lost. But whenever the Rams, even if it is a 1-point lead, if the Rams have the lead at halftime, they're 39-0. It's quite remarkable.
But I think this offense is going to start much faster than they did last year. You know, we've seen Tom Brady that first drive of the Atlanta game. We just talked about it. It was textbook chef's kiss, right? It cannot get any better than that. Maybe the run game gets a little bit more involved this week. We talked about that on Wednesday as well. That might need to be a priority if things get kind of weird down the stretch. But I mean, what are your expectations for the offense?
Well, real quick, I did want to say I saw there's a lot of things about kick returner in there. It's expected to be Jalen Darden. I think we could all expect that. There was a few, I think TB12 Goatman might have said Scotty going to return him. I think the Bucks tried that experiment in the preseason and didn't work very well. It's just some guys can do it, some guys can't. So I think they're going to give Darden the first crack. Expectations for the offense, I'll tell you. Week 11, 2020, it was Tom Brady's worst game as a Buccaneer. I've been on record of saying that. I think the Rams game last year was the worst he's played. I think that was the worst game. Not week one versus New Orleans, not week nine versus New Orleans. It was that game. I think that was the game where he didn't play good. He played like crap. He threw two interceptions, one to end the game basically when the Bucs were down three and they were trying to drive to tie it or take the lead. He didn't play good. Now the Rams do have a new defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris. Obviously, Tampa fans are very familiar. Not only was he the head coach, but then also, you know, he was the Falcons defensive coordinator there for a little bit. So that means a lot of zone. There's going to be a lot of zone. Raheem Morris teams typically do play a lot more zone, and the Rams have shown that in the first 2 weeks. The curious thing for me is who's Jalen Ramsey going to cover? Because he's not your prototypical
one-on-one guy.
Yeah, he's not your Darrelle Revis, where you put him on one side of the field and that side of the field's done, right? You don't have to worry about that. Jalen Ramsey moves all over the place, and he's actually been playing a lot in the slot recently. I believe most of his snaps, even, it's like 74 snaps out of like 106 or something that have been played in the slot. So could you see Chris Godwin versus Jalen Ramsey and not Jalen Ramsey versus Mike Evans like many are expecting? Possibly. That's going to be a big thing. Ramsey just roams around. I think you will see him against Mike Evans at times. I think you'll see him against Chris Godwin. You might even see him against Rob Gronkowski. I think, you know, he's just such a talented player. He could cover Rob Gronkowski, and like, it's not like a huge size disadvantage, because Jalen Ramsey's just like the prototypical corner. So that's a tough challenge. And I'm really curious to see what the Rams' plan is for Jalen Ramsey. And obviously the big thing is, can they contain Aaron Donald, which, you know, they have done a great job. Not even just, I was going to say fine job. No, they've done a great job of doing that in the past two matchups. So two matchups, Aaron Donald with zero sacks for 2020. Okay. When I looked up the stat sheet, the box score, Aaron Donald's name didn't even show up. Like, it's not there. I don't know. Like, I know he played. Like, I don't know why it's not there. It's not there. 2019, it's there. I think he had four tackles and no sacks. 2020, he don't even show up in the box score. So, I mean, they have rendered him just, you know, useless almost. But with that being said, it's still Aaron Donald, and the Bucs cannot think, we contained him the last two times, this is going to be a piece of cake. No. Because if you do that, he is going to wreck the whole game plan. You do that, he is still, I believe, the best defensive player in football. This guy can just, I mean, 1 week he can be dormant, and then the next week, boom, he's getting three sacks. And he just looks like, you know, he's just manhandling people. And he's not as big as Vita Vea, but he's manhandling people like he is. It's insane. So that's obviously going to be a big key of emphasis. And the last thing I have is just who's going to be the running back. And we can get into that a little bit more, but I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, sort of what Tom Brady's performance was last year and the whole Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald thing. Because I think obviously when you think of the Rams defense, you think of those two guys.
Yeah. I think as far as Aaron Donald and like the battle in the trenches goes, something important for the Bucs this week, I have a gut feeling that like over 70% of the time, you're going to have a running back right next to Tom Brady trying to pick up the blitz or trying to just be an extra blocker so he has a little bit more time. But I think Brady's going to make it a main focus of his this week to just get the ball out as quickly as possible. We talked about it after the Falcons game. It didn't really seem like the long passing game was there. And for this Bucs offense, it kind of doesn't have to be, right? Like, we've seen a lot of games where they don't always have that beautiful 50 plus yard touchdown over the top to Scotty Miller or Antonio Brown. We got a good glimpse of that week one. But I think that's one of those things that they only have to bust out every now and again when a defense doesn't expect it, right? But if Tom Brady can just get the ball out of his hands, stay clean in the pocket, get good protection, find his receivers, I think he's going to pick on Jalen Ramsey, because that's just that's kind of what Tom does, right? Like, I think he's going to find ways to make plays on Jalen Ramsey. I do.
I don't know how smart that is, but
I do. That's Tom Brady, that bro. Is, like, okay, I'm very I confident
understand,
with Tom.
I understand that, but like, Tom Brady also knows matchups and he knows who he has on who. And I don't know.
Well, I mean, regardless, he's going to throw to the open guy. But if he has, like, if he sees a window to make,
if he has his choice of anybody on the Rams defense, he's going to target their best player.
Yes. Yes, 100%. You're telling me Tom's not going to do that?
I'm telling you he's going to target the best matchup, which would not be whoever Jalen Ramsey is.
He's going to target the open guy.
Yeah, and against Jalen Ramsey, he ain't going to be open, so it's not going to happen.
All right.
We can agree to disagree. Sure. Mike Evans got four targets against Jalen Ramsey last year.
I think it's another quiet week for Mike. He might have a touchdown, but I think the Rams are going to do their best to try and slow Mike down. That's exactly what they did last year. But I think Brady's going to be sharp. I think he's going to continue to play at this great pace that he's on. I don't know if it'll be quite the offensive explosion, although my final score prediction might say otherwise. But as far as Brady goes, I think he's going to be sharp this week. Jalen Ramsey, like you said, I think he's going to float all over the field. I think they'll mostly have him try and slow down Mike. We talked about it on Wednesday. I think a good approach for the Rams this week is to just try and not so much, you know, man up and have one-on-one all the time, because a lot of their corners can't do that. You just said Jalen Ramsey can't do that. So they're going to be double teaming guys. I think Mike Evans probably going to get the most of it this week, but I'm curious to just see how we block, like, on the offense. I'm curious to see how the offensive line blocks, how the running back in there helps create a little bit of extra time for Tom. And then
I wouldn't count on any Bucs running back picking up a blitz. So. I just wouldn't do it.
Somebody asked in the chat earlier about Gio Bernard. Do you think we see a little bit more Gio this week?
I think we're just going to be asking that question every week until we do. No, sure. Like I don't know. I don't know. I really, truly do not know what they're doing with the running back position. I don't know. A lot of people are asking me, and I can't give a good answer. I have no idea. All of them have deficiencies. And apparently in this offense, like, all these running backs are like the worst types of backs to be in this type of offense, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea. I literally have in my thing here, what is the deal at running back? I was on a Ram show yesterday. It actually aired in LA on LA radio today.
Our buddy Ryan Dyrud, we had him on the game preview last year as well, the LA Football Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he asked me, he said, "Oh, who's the starter?" Don't know. No clue, buddy. I didn't have an answer. So I told him I would expect Leonard Fournette to start the game. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just as in the dark as you are. Like, who the hell knows at this point? I don't think we're ever going to use Gio Bernard until I actually see them do it. Like, I've just given up trying to bring it up every single week about maybe we can get him a little bit more involved this week, because I just don't know if it's going to happen. I'd like to see him make a play this week, though. He has been getting limited snaps. I'd like to see him do something with it this week. Make it a first down that counts, right? That'd be pretty cool to see.
He did have a few, you know. It's just that final drive was the Cowboys. And I think a lot of people forget the impact that Giovanni Bernard had on that drive because of the pass to Godwin. Gio Bernard, I believe he converted two first downs on that drive. So that was basically his highlights and pretty much nothing else. They've used him on third and 20 situations when they just throw it to him and he's able to get 6-7 yards. And that's that.
Yeah. With another season comes another sponsor for the Cannon Fire podcast. We are partnering up with PlayActionPools.com to bring some interactive fun to the sport that we all love the most. You'll be able to get in on the action with our PlayActionPools.com Football Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everybody. Here's how it works. Sign up for our contest, Believe Football Pick'em, at PlayActionPools.com, and then get your picks in each week. We're going to select the 10 highest profile games of the week between the NFL and college football. Select winners are going to have their hands at a plethora of great prizes brought to you by our guys at PlayActionPools.com. So again, go to PlayActionPools.com and sign up for the contest, Believe, B-L-E-A-V, Football Pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contest, go to playactionpools.com today. They have got Survivor, Pick'em, as well as a pretty cool sportsbook style concept called Build Your Bankroll. Playactionpools.com, your new home for all your office sports pools, and another proud sponsor of the Cannon Fire podcast. I want to talk about this Buccaneers pass rush, and then we'll talk about some other things. We talked about Joe Tryon earlier in the show and how his presence could bring a new dynamic to that pass rush. But what are your expectations? How do they shape up with LA's offensive line? And, you know, do you think they can actually get some pressure this week, or is it just going to be another one of those weeks?
Well, they haven't had any issues getting pressure. I believe they're one of the top five teams in the NFL get it when you know, as far as pressures go.
Just can't get home with it.
Yeah, they got to get sacks. They have two sacks. They have two sacks through two games. I believe 31st in the NFL. It's just that's not going to cut it. You know, if you want to be a Super Bowl contender, you can't be 31st in anything in the NFL. I guess you did have the last ranked special teams, but defense is too important, especially sacks, right? For a team that blitzes as much as the Bucs do, you should have more than two sacks.
For sure.
And I think this is going to be a big week for the tackles of the Rams. I think the Bucs edge rushers versus the Rams tackles, specifically for this reason. When the Bucs played the Rams last year, I know the Bucs are now missing Jason Pierre-Paul, but the Bucs didn't have Vita Vea. Vita Vea did not play in that game. So I think that makes a big difference. I think the Rams, you know, they've had some questions at center. They've had some questions at guard. I think the Bucs are going to try to really, you know, get Vita Vea in some favorable spots. But I also think the Rams are really going to be paying attention to Vita Vea, and that could allow the Bucs edge rushers to really have some one-on-ones, and they got to win those one-on-ones. Versus Andrew Whitworth and Rob Havenstein, they got to win those one-on-ones. And, Ndamukong Suh, too, he's going to be getting some one-on-ones. You got to win them. Because I think the Rams' plan is going to be to double-team Vita Vea, and I think they're going to want to neutralize him as much as possible. So these edge rushers, and I'm looking at you, Shaq Barrett. I'm not counting on the rookie, Joe Tryon Shoyinka, to wreck the world for the Rams. I'm looking at the guy who was paid big money this offseason to do it in a game like this. This is what the Bucs paid you for. It's time to step up and get it done.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think, you know, something has to give as far as getting sacks goes. I think there was no reason they shouldn't have had a few more against Atlanta. We talked about how bad that offensive
line was. Devin White whiffed on Matt Ryan. Like, they were literally whiffing on guys. It's got to be better. It's got to be better.
I think it's one of those things where, obviously, with anything in football, it's going to come over time. As the weeks start to pile up and we get further into the season, I think we're going to get that one outlier game where hopefully, like, they have five or six on the entire day. Just a ridiculous day of getting after the quarterback. Hopefully that'll help them out in the overall league standings. But we'll get there. I think that this is a pretty important week to not only get the pressure, but to actually make something happen with it. Because Matt Stafford is not a quarterback that likes getting hit, right? So
no quarterback does.
Exactly. So you got to get after it this week. And it's going to start with the battle in the trenches. As far as the rest of the defense goes, looking at the secondary, this matchup between the Rams wide receivers and the Buccaneers secondary is also going to be pretty interesting to watch, because if there's one thing that this secondary doesn't do entirely well against, it's little fast white guys like Cooper Kupp, but they've also got some real speed. They've got Cooper Kupp, who's been playing well, Robert Woods, who's pretty quick as well, Van Jefferson. Is DeSean Jackson still active on their team?
Yeah, he played in like 90% of the snaps or last week. Yeah. Something like that.
I mean, if anybody's going to beat you over the top with speed, I know he's not quite as fast as he was in Tampa, but DeSean Jackson is just somebody who could get away from you if you don't keep him in front of you. But
I mean, Cooper Kupp has almost 300 yards receiving, yeah, and he has three touchdowns through two games. You say small white guy, he's 6'2", and that's what makes him so difficult to cover. He's very much like and he plays in the slot. He's very much like the Bucs version of Chris Godwin. It's very similar in that way. He has him. I have it in my notes. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods buck killers.
Yeah.
Absolutely kill this team. Just, I mean, I don't know what it is about them. They absolutely destroy Tabo's defenses.
They're just, they're on the list with like a, you know, Cordell Patterson, basically.
I guess. I wasn't expecting Cordell Patterson to be on that list. But,
no, but there's just certain players where, like, even if it's on a bad team, they always find a way to do great against Tampa, right? Yeah,
well, this is a good team. So, yeah. I mean, even in 2019 when the Bucs won, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods were unstoppable. Like, you just couldn't do anything. And then last year, they were even better. It's honestly ridiculous. And I did have a note that, you know, don't forget DeSean Jackson. Carlton Davis against DeSean Jackson, wouldn't do that because Carlton Davis struggles against speed. I think I heard somebody suggest earlier this week to put Jamel Dean against DeSean Jackson, which is fine. The issue is that Jamel Dean tends to really like jump on the double moves. So I think the Rams, if they see that matchup, they might have Jackson do a double move and try to get something deep down the field. So just be on the lookout for that. I did want to talk about the Todd Bowles versus Sean McVay. This is where a lot of Bucs fans are not going to be very encouraged because it is not very good.
Well, that's what you're here for, right? You're here to bring the bad news every week.
I guess somebody's got to do it. Somebody has to.
You're the heel.
Yeah, I am. In the last two matchups, the Rams have a combined 931 yards of offense. Almost 1,000 yards of offense in two matchups.
In two games.
That is insane. They had 518 in 2019 and 413 in 2020. That is insane. And the Rams, they had in those two games,
Jared Goff.
but how are they attacking the Bucs? How are they getting these yards? Well, they're getting these yards the same way the Falcons and the Cowboys both got the yards. They're passing the football. In those two games combined, the Rams had 65 total rush yards. They ran it 31 times in those two games. Last week alone, the Rams ran it 29 times. So that puts it into perspective just how much the Rams are passing the ball against this Tampa team. It's going to look like Dallas, I think. I think it's really going to look similar to Dallas. The Rams, I don't even think they're going to attempt to run the ball. Darrell Henderson is not – I don't think he's going to play. I honestly don't. So Sony Michel will probably be in there. I don't think he's going to get many carries at all. Sean McVay, I think he knows that, like, you know, why even attempt to run the ball? Like, so it's not good. And Todd Bowles versus Sean McVay has not worked out good for Todd Bowles. So he learned his mistakes from playing Drew Brees and the Saints. He learned his mistake from playing Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. You got to learn your mistakes from playing Sean McVay. The thing that's discouraging to me is, though, the Rams changed nothing about their offense from 2019 to 2020, but neither did the Bucs on the defensive side. So the Rams did the same exact thing, and the Bucs did the same exact thing. They can't, you know, you got to switch something up. It's something's got to switch up on Sunday. Or else it's going to be the same exact thing. It's going to be a ton of yards, probably a lot of points, and you're going to have to, you know, hope for the offense to be, you know, basically perfect almost. And I just don't really think that's fair to an offense when you're facing this defense. Matthew Stafford so far has 599 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 interception. So he's been really good. And trust me, they're going to pass the ball. That is Sean McVay. I can guarantee you that is Sean McVay's game plan. If the Rams run the ball over 15 times in this game, that's a lot. And if they do, that means that they're probably up by multiple scores and they're trying to wait clock because they're not going to run the ball. They're going to pass. It's up to the Bucs to be able to step up to that challenge.
No, I think any team that's game planning for Tampa Bay is going to go into the week and say, listen, we can try and run the ball, but that's just not how you're going to beat the Bruce Arians Bucs.
Let me put it this way. Win or lose, right? If whether the Bucs win or whether the Bucs lose, there's going to be a ton of people calling for Richard Sherman to the Tampa on Sunday night. Whether they win or lose, there's going to be a ton of people that are calling for Richard Sherman to Tampa.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of points. I didn't really want to admit it earlier. Like, I didn't know what kind of game this is going to be, but I really do think it's going to be a lot of points. Both of these offenses are able to just go out there and let it rip. We've seen Brady and the production of this offense just get higher and higher every single game. I mean, they are on an incredible streak in the NFL. What do we talk about? 10 straight games that they have won with 30 plus points scored. I don't know if there has been an offensive tear like that in NFL history. Pretty sure that's why they have the record for it. So the Bucs can definitely put some points on the board. But if you're Sean McVay, you have Matt Stafford under center. We already know that he likes to throw it. I actually didn't realize that 2020 matchup, the production was that lopsided. I did not remember the Rams putting up 400 something yards on us.
Mm-hmm. And the Bucs it was basically both matchups were Jared Goff making mistakes.
Yes.
In the 2019 matchup, the Bucs had one turnover and the Rams had four. That was the difference. You know, Jared Goff threw three picks. Now, I mean, I will say that the Rams scored 40 points, but one of those points was off of pick six. So technically the defense only gave up 33. But then in 2020, Jared Goff again had two interceptions. The only difference is so did Tom Brady. So, you know, Jared Goff really sort of kept the Bucs in that game last year because it was not close yards wise. And it was just the Rams were really, the Bucs were just trying to hang on. It felt like, hopefully that tide can change this Sunday.
For sure. One more thing I want to talk about with this Sunday's game before we get to the weekly checklist and break this thing down. The Buccaneers cannot beat themselves this week. We've talked about it over these first two games, and it's been a little bit more of an issue than I thought it would be. Like, week one, you knew it was going to be sloppy football. Week two, I mean, I definitely came out and said that it's not going to be an issue, and at times it was. You know, bad officiating is going to happen, but the Bucs beating themselves cannot happen against a team like the LA Rams. If this game goes the way that we think it does, which is points flying all over the board, leaving points on the field, and shooting yourself in the foot at inopportune times to leave the other team in the game could be the downfall of Tampa Bay in this one. So discipline this week is a huge deal, right? I feel like mm-hmm. it has to be. This is the first legitimate contender that you have faced all year, and there's just not a lot of room for mistakes this week.
No. The Rams are the second best team when it comes to penalties per game. The Bucs are 31st.
That's a tough start, man. That's not a Tom Brady stat that he gets very often, right?
No, that was like basically last year before week five. I mean, you know, it's more of like I said, putting an emphasis on the Rams being so efficient and playing the game so clean and not committing those penalties, not making those mistakes. The Bucs are going to have to really clean it up, dude. If they come out here and it's 10 penalties for 90 yards versus the Rams, three penalties for 20 yards, is this game even going to be close? If the Bucs are going to beat themselves like that, like, they got to clean it up. And we know they can because they've done it. Like, they literally did it last year.
We remember the turning point. Everybody does.
Like, you know, like, they did it. So they got to do it again. And I know it's early in the season. It's week three, and you're asking for almost a perfect game. They got to do it because the Rams are not going to shoot themselves in the foot the way this Bucs team has, and really has kept the Cowboys and the Falcons in the game. The Bucs roster is better than the Cowboys, and the Bucs roster is better than the Falcons, significantly better than both. The Rams roster, while the Bucs roster may be better, it's close. And If the Bucs keep the Rams in the game with the Bucs' own mistakes, the Rams are going to make them pay for it, where the Cowboys and Falcons maybe couldn't. That's the difference between those two teams and this team. They got to be ready for it.
I think it was Stank who said it after week two. Like, the Bucs, they can out-talent a lot of teams in the NFL.
Almost anybody.
Yeah. Right. The Cowboys, you can out-talent the Cowboys. You can make mistakes to keep them in the game, but at the end of the day, you have enough talent to go out there and, you know, scrape by, do your job.
You gotta have the done. Yeah. If you don't have the talent, you won't win. And yeah,
they have the talent to just beat Atlanta, right? It doesn't have to be a perfect day against Atlanta. You have enough talent to go out there and beat them by multiple scores. Like you said, you look at the two rosters, the Bucs might be better on paper, but this is just not one of those teams. It's going to be a very, very competitive game.
And the Bucs are not significantly better. They're slightly better, I would say. I don't think the Bucs, if you look at these two rosters on paper, it's like you said, they're not significantly better than this football team. They're not. The Rams are one of the best teams in NFL. I truly believe that.
Well, call me biased here. Maybe it's the the everlasting optimist or eternal optimist. It's the return of that gimmick shining through here. But from what I've seen this season, when the Buccaneers don't beat themselves and like they are on it, right? When this offense is clicking and they're going out there and doing their jobs, when the defense makes stops that we know they can, I think the Bucs are the best team in the NFL. Offensively, I think they are the number one offense in the NFL. The defense still has some work to do. We know the level that these guys can play at. I would just like to see them get back there sooner rather than later. But, you know, when the Bucs are on their P's and Q's, I think they can beat every team in the NFL. Like, that's how confident I am in this team. And it's been a long time since I've had that type of confidence. But the Super Bowl will definitely help do that.
No, I agree. We've seen it. Like I said, we have seen them do it. The Chiefs didn't score a touchdown. You know how difficult that is? Like to hold the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes to no touchdowns? Like that is so difficult. But we're not talking about last year anymore. Last year is done. Right? This is a different Bucs team now. This is a different Rams team now. A very different Rams team now. So whatever you thought about last year's matchup, I brought up the stats or whatever. That's just for context on what we could see. But it's a different Rams team. It's a different Bucs team. This is a more comfortable Tom Brady in this offense. This is a more comfortable, it should be a more comfortable Todd Bowles defense, but we'll see. You know, the Rams are also, they have a different quarterback. You're going to be getting a little bit of a different look from that quarterback. I think Stafford is a better quarterback than Goff. I think it's pretty significant. Yeah, come on too. it'll be interesting to see. And I'm really interested to see what type of adjustments Todd Bowles makes, because I think he's got to make them. He's got to make them. It's not a good matchup. Honestly, in the playoffs, this is the one team I was like, oh, they got to stay away from the Rams. They did. And you know, they kudos to them, right? They got over the Saints hump. They got over the Chiefs, who really just manhandled them early on, especially on defense. But they got to be able to bring their P's and Q's and wake up for this one. And especially first road game of the year. Tough first road game of the year, too. So hopefully they can rise to the challenge. They have recently done better on the road than at home. So maybe that spells a victory here.
Yeah. Somebody rescinded their like and gave us a dislike. So let's go ahead and get to the checklist and some final score predictions so we can piss some more people off, right?
Yeah, that's the business that I'm in.
So Evan, we don't have a take back for the game preview show, but you do have the weekly checklist. And basically the Bucs need to do all these things to emerge from Los Angeles victorious. The floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, so the first one I said just turnover free. I'm not saying you have to force turnovers, but I'm saying on offense, you can't commit turnovers. You just can't. Tom Brady, you know, the Bucs were almost about to go up 14-0 pretty much, but then the Ryan Jensen penalty and then the strip sack, and all of a sudden it's 7-0 still against Atlanta. Can't have that. You can't have that this week. So I think they got to play a turnover free game. And I was specifically saying that because of last year with Tom Brady. And really, there's going to be opportunities against this defense, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But you got to play a clean football game. I'm looking at you, Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette, because you two have been turnover machines so far. Every time the ball's in your hands, I think something bad's going to happen. So
turnover
just
machines.
That's what they've been. That's how it's been. Number two. And I know I addressed this and said that I think the Rams are going to be paying extra attention, but you got to use Vita Vea to disrupt Matthew Stafford, make him uncomfortable, make him not be able to step up in the pocket and deliver a ball down the field. I think it's really important. You know, you didn't have this piece last year. I think it's time that you utilize this piece against this Rams team. You know, it's basically, like I said, you were missing this piece. You're down Jason Pierre-Paul now. I think it's time that you unleash Vita Vea and just try to get creative. Try to get him ways to get him one-on-one with guys and be able to just bulldoze him. And I think it could make Matthew Stafford stay very long. And the third one, be patient on offense. And a lot of the, and if you are patient, I think the first one, turnover free game, I think it could very well happen. But if you're not patient, you're going to get burned. The Bucs' first half game plan versus the Rams last year was perfect. The Rams' defense is going to give you a lot of underneath stuff. Like I said, it's a lot of zone. They're going to give you a lot of underneath stuff. I understand it's a different defensive coordinator now, but they're going to give you a lot of the underneath stuff. What they don't want is the deep shots down the field. Well, that's what the Bucs do want. So the Rams are going to test the Bucs and say, okay, how patient can you be? We're going to basically dare you to run the ball. And we're going to see if you're patient enough to not just throw it down the field. Because if you are, we're going to be ready for it. And they need to be patient. Tom Brady, what happened is they got too greedy. They tried to force the ball down the field in the second half, and it didn't work. And it ended up being the two interceptions. Be patient, take what's there, and play a clean football game. If you're patient, I believe that goes hand in hand with playing a clean football game. I really, really do. So I think that's a huge key to this game.
For the Bucs, it is no doubt the first major test on their schedule, and it should be an exciting game as well. Sunday on Fox, 4:25 p.m. kickoff, America's Game of the Week, which means we got Joe Buck and Troy Aikman in the booth. But let's wrap this thing up, man. Let's get some good old-fashioned score predictions out there. And I will let you go first.
Well, I think you know it's coming. That's why.
I think everybody does.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. When we did the season predictions, right, me and you both predicted this as a loss.
Yeah.
Me and you both did. I do think the Rams are one of the best teams in the NFL. I don't think they're better than the Bucs. I really don't. I think the Bucs are the better football team. However, this is a tough matchup. Schematically, being on the road for the first time in a could be a loud house, LA. You know, Matthew Stafford's an upgraded quarterback now over Jared Goff. You know, I think the Bucs are going to give a good fight. I think both teams are going to go back and forth. I think this is going to be a very good football game.
I really do.
And I think it's going to be another 3-point game as it was last year. I think the Rams won 27-24 last year. I'm going to go 31-28 Rams. It doesn't change my opinion on the Bucs. I had the Bucs going 13-4 in the season predictions. It's okay. You know, and actually the funny thing is, early in the week, I was kind of feeling a win, but then Antonio Brown went out and Jason Pierre-Paul went out. And I was like, man, I was like, I don't know. I was thinking Antonio Brown against their third corner. I thought they were going to be able to exploit that a ton. And now that's not there anymore. I love TJ. Don't know if he's going to be able to do what Antonio Brown can do. So I'm going to take the Rams in a close one. If you're listening to this show for the first time, you know, it won't be the last time I pick the Bucs to lose. So I'm normally the guy that picks the Bucs to lose. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't change my opinion on the team at all. It's just, this is a tough matchup. You're not going to win. I'm sorry, but they're not going 17-0. It's not going to happen. It's a tough matchup. If they can gut this out, I think it'll be a huge win. And I think they can win this game. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying this is a tough matchup for the football team right now. I think if it was later in the year, maybe things are a bit better. I think the defense would be gelling a little bit later in the year. Right now, they're catching them at a bad time. The Bucs are down three starters, Antonio Brown, Jason Pierre-Paul, Sean Murphy Bunting, while the Rams are mostly healthy. So I'm going to take the Rams slightly.
Well, since somebody picked them to lose, I'm going to go ahead and put my score prediction out there.
Well, we all knew what it was going to be. So.
Yeah, right? I mean, come on now. I do also think it is a close game. I think the team that scores last is going to win. Whoever has the ball last is going to win this football game. I think both offenses put up over 30 points. And I like the Bucs in this one. 38-35. I think Tom Brady gets the ball last and we get a game-winning drive. I think even though you are down Antonio Brown, I think this is a little bit of a coming out party for the offense.
Against this defense, wow. Wait. What do you mean a coming out party? They did in the first 2 weeks wasn't good enough?
No, I know, right? I mean, granted, you got the two pick sixes to kind of pad the score at the end of the Falcons game, and they were able to put up 30-plus on the Cowboys, take the drive down the field, and win the game. But if they can go out there and play clean football, right, no mistakes, don't back yourself up, be patient, take what their defense gives you. But I think Tom is going to continue to be sharp, and I think he puts up great numbers this week. I like this offense, but 38-35, I got the Bucks.
We all knew when you made that season prediction that you weren't going to stick with it when it actually came to the time.
Yeah, well, any given Sunday, right?
That's true. But also any given Sunday, the Bucks are the better team. I just think this is a tough matchup at a tough time. That's all.
I'm not the one coming after you.
Nobody comes after me. I don't care about that. And you know, the funny thing is, I predicted them to lose on the page, and you can always tell the people that that just started following the page, because they're the people that complain that I pick them to lose. Yeah. I can always tell who the new followers are, because they're the ones that are like, "You're a Bucks page and you're picking them to lose." I'm like, "What do you want? Like, I'm sorry, I'm not the person that's gonna pick them to win every single football game. I'm sorry.
I will pick them to lose eventually, but this week is not the week. I think it's a statement win for Tampa Bay. It's been addressed.
It'd be nice.
It's been addressed in the live chat. They've been a little disrespected this week. You know, people were really hype about the Cowboys after week one. I don't know why, but every single media outlet, it was like, let's talk about this moral victory for the Cowboys. And now all of a sudden, the Bucks beating the Cowboys doesn't mean shit. The Bucks beating the Atlanta Falcons doesn't mean shit to these analysts. And a lot of people, the Rams are the favorite headed into this one. And I think the Buccaneers go out there, play a clean game, play their best game of the season so far, and come out with a win on the West Coast. I think that's a statement win.
Now, I will say, though, I believe the Bucs are actually the favorite on many betting sites. So where could I go if I wanted to put some money down on the Bucs?
Our guys over at betonline.ag. Okay. Cool. Cool thing, too, man. If you haven't used them before, download the app or go to their website, and you're going to get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. So if you put $100 down, you'll get an extra $50 on top of it to go out there and try and make some monies.
Yeah, I mean, D says, not sure why you were so high on the Rams defense. They lost Aaron Donald and they were nothing. Well, they lose their best player and suddenly they're not as good. Oh, shocker. I mean, I don't know. They lost Aaron Donald and they were nothing. They have Aaron Donald on Sunday. So what is the point there? Aaron Donald's going to play. So the Bucs have done a great job of limiting him, but he's still going to be out there. So got to pay attention.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting game no matter what. If you guys are out in L.A., I think G Vegas said he was out there, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys are out there, stay safe, but enjoy the game on Sunday, man. That new stadium is beautiful, and I think that game day atmosphere is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to watching TV and seeing all the Buckaholics and all the travel crew out there. Just all the red and probably the orange. I think a lot of people might wear creamsicle too, but just the Bucks fans in the stands, because if we know anything, there is a lot of Buccaneers fans on the West Coast, especially California.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see them show up and rep it in LA this weekend. I'm very, very excited for that game.
Yeah, our buddy Richard is also in LA, says. So yeah, if you guys are in LA, be loud, man. It's gonna be a loud stadium with a lot of Rams fans. Bring the noise yourselves then, you know. Willie Beeman, real quick, corners gotta keep the receivers in front of them. No for your releases on the line of scrimmage. Most important, hit the QB. Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's, we talked about it. I think that's one of the most important things. It's, you know, the Bucs have actually not done a horrible job in the trench battle against the Rams. Last year, they really didn't get much pressure, which was not great. You know, the 2019, they were able to get some pressure, but last year they really struggled to get pressure against Jared Goff. So, hit Stafford, be in his face, make him make mistakes, right? Stafford is a good quarterback, but also he's been known to make a mistake or two. It's not like he is a guy like Matt Ryan who's going to take the conservative route. He's not that type of guy. He's going to take a chance, make him pay for those chances, and win this football game. That's the bottom line. Make him pay and win the football game. Doesn't matter how you come out of it, right? Come out of L.A. scoring more points than the Los Angeles Rams.
It's a solid game plan.
I know it's crazy. That's why I should have on the checklist. Just score more points. That's all you got to do. Yeah. But really, like, guys, like, what it comes down to, like, Todd Bowles or Sean McVay, until I see Todd Bowles adjust, I'm just not going to believe that he's going to. Until I see it, it's almost 1,000 yards in two games. Like, that's ridiculous. So until I see him adjust to that, I got to assume that the Rams are going to put up a lot of yards and the Bucs are going to have to play darn near perfect to win the football game. Now, the right person is at quarterback to be able to do that, Tom Brady. So we'll see what happens. I'm really excited. And also, quick note, the Bucs are wearing their pewter jerseys. So according to the jersey schedule, the Bucs are going to be wearing their pewter jerseys for the first time this season, which they actually wore the pewter jersey versus the Rams last season as well. So kind of a funny coincidence there.
Yeah, you love to see it. It's going to be an interesting game. A lot of great matchups all over the field and going to be a lot of fun. But ladies and gentlemen, that's just about going to do it for this episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us live on YouTube today. You can listen to the podcast as well on any major podcast platform. If you can't catch the live show and you don't want to watch the YouTube video, sometimes it's a little more convenient to actually listen to the podcast, and it's in the name, right? So we have to put out a podcast. Make sure you go check that out if you are into that type of stuff. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show, and of course, Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram at Bucs_daily, the number one Buccaneers fan page on Instagram, rapidly approaching 30,000 followers. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL. Last but not least, you can find myself, Instagram, and Twitter at Redicus, RHETTAKUS. If you follow me, I will follow you back. One more shout out to our moderators, Willie Beeman holding it down up there in Philly, G Vegas hanging out on the West Coast. You guys are appreciated. Thanks for staying up late with us for this edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast. We'll talk to you Sunday right here on YouTube live after the game. Win, lose, or draw, it's the same thing every week. We'll talk to you later. And as always, go Bucs.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.